Welcome to EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Amet Cesar, MD, a professor in the Department of Medical Oncology at Beskent University in Adana, Turkey, and Alexander J. Strategos, MD, an associate professor of dermatology and venereology in the Department of Dermatology at the University of Athens Medical School, to discuss the FDA approvals of cemiplimab in advanced non-small cell lung cancer and advanced basal cell carcinoma. First, we spoke with Dr. Cesar. On February 22, 2021, the FDA approved cemiplimab monotherapy for use as frontline treatment for patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer with a PD-L1 expression level of 50% or higher. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 EMPOWER-Lung1 trial, in which cemiplimab reduced the risk of death by 32% compared with chemotherapy in patients with a PD-L1 expression of 50% or higher. Cemiplimab provides another effective option for patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer who have high PD-L1 expression, said Cesar. Moreover, findings from the EMPOWER-Lung1 trial have confirmed clinical benefit for this patient population with cemiplimab despite a high crossover rate and broadened inclusion criteria, Cesar explained. Could you provide some background on cemiplimab and what makes the agent a novelty in this setting?
Cemiplimab is a fully human monoclonal antibody targeting immune checkpoint receptor PD-1 on T cells. Like other PD-1 inhibitors, cemiplimab binds to PD-1 and has been shown to block cancer cells from using the pathway to suppress T cell activation. In advanced non-small cell lung cancer, PD-1 inhibitors have become a key component of systemic treatment in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer without EGFR, ALK, or ROS1 mutations. However, there is still a need to optimize chemotherapy pre-treatment options for patients with high PD-L1 expression levels. In its pivotal Phase 3 trial, known as EMPOWER-Lung1, cemiplimab demonstrated an impressive level of efficacy and was superior in extended overall survival compared to chemotherapy. This reinforces the potential of cemiplimab as a valuable treatment option for appropriate patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer with PD-L1 expression of at least 50%. In addition, EMPOWER-Lung1 enrolled more advanced patient populations, usually underrepresented in advanced non-small cell lung cancer trials. Among these patients, 12% had pretreated and stable brain metastasis, and 16% had locally advanced non-small cell lung cancer that was not candidate for definitive chemoradiation. As a result, the medical community now has valuable new clinical evidence that could enhance our understanding of how to treat advanced non-small cell lung cancer.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the efficacy data we saw from EMPOWER-Lung1 and then also the toxicity data?
EMPOWER-Lung1 compared first-line cemiplimab monotherapy versus platinum-based doublet chemotherapy in advanced non-small cell lung cancer with PD-L1 expression of at least 50%. The primary endpoints were overall survival and progression-free survival. Secondary endpoints included overall response rate, duration of response, quality of life, and safety. Libtayo demonstrated impressive efficacy early on, and EMPOWER-Lung1 was stopped early due to a highly significant improvement in overall survival compared to chemotherapy. Specifically, Libtayo reduced the risk of death by 33% among all trial patients and 43% in those with known PD-L1 expression of at least 50%. And these results were achieved with a greater than 50% crossover rate to Libtayo following disease progression on chemotherapy, as well as the largest population of patients with pre-treated and stable brain metastasis among advanced non-small cell lung cancer pivotal trials to date. Additionally, details have been published in the Lancet, but to summarize, these results support cemiplimab as a new monotherapy option for patients with first-line advanced non-small cell lung cancer with a PD-L1 expression of at least 50%. The safety profile of cemiplimab is consistent with the previously reported profile for cemiplimab and other PD-1, PD-L1 inhibitors in non-small cell lung cancer and other tumor types. Additional details have been published in The Lancet.
So how do you imagine that the approval will impact the paradigm for patients with non-small cell lung cancer with a high PD-L1 expression?
The physicians who treat non-small cell lung cancer, myself included, are a data-driving group and appreciate having multiple treatment options. Given the impressive level of efficacy demonstrated in the EMPOWER-Lung1 trial, I believe cemiplimab has the potential to make a meaningful difference for the many U.S. patients battling this difficult-to-treat cancer. Additionally, EMPOWER-Lung1 could help to address current gaps in knowledge surrounding advanced non-small cell lung cancer treatment, as it allowed for certain patient and disease characteristics frequently underrepresented in advanced non-small cell lung cancer trials.
Now, cemiplimab is not the only agent approved in this space, so how do you imagine it'll be integrated among other agents?
As you know, there are pembrolizumab and atezolizumab. These agents are approved from FDA now. They are using it nowadays.
Are there any unanswered questions in your opinion with the agent that future research should address?
As oncologists, we see many different patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer. Each is unique, and they can have a variety of disease characteristics that need to be taken into account. In short, there is still a lot we don't know about advanced non-small cell lung cancer treatment, and more research is always needed. However, I believe EMPOWER-Lung1 is an important step and offers physicians valuable new data that can help them in treating varied patients and situations they come across in daily clinical practice.
Is there any research regarding cemiplimab specifically that you wanted to call attention to?
Cemiplimab is being studied in combination with chemotherapy in a pivotal trial in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer, irrespective of PD-L1 expression. That trial is now fully enrolled and initial data is expected in 2021. I'm looking forward to seeing these results.
We then spoke with Dr. Strategos. On February 9th, 2021, the FDA approved cemiplimab as the first immunotherapy for use in patients with advanced basal cell carcinoma that has previously been treated with a hedgehog pathway inhibitor or for whom a hedgehog pathway inhibitor is not appropriate. The agent was granted full approval for use in patients with locally advanced basal cell carcinoma. It received accelerated approval for use in patients with metastatic basal cell carcinoma. The regulatory decision was based on data from an open-label, multi-center, non-randomized phase 2 trial, which included a total of 132 patients with unresectable locally advanced basal cell carcinoma or metastatic basal cell carcinoma, either nodal or distant. Results from the trial showed that cemiplimab elicited a confirmed objective response rate of 21% in patients with metastatic basal cell carcinoma and 29% in those with locally advanced basal cell carcinoma. What does the approval of cemiplimab really bring to patients? What does it offer to patients with advanced basal cell carcinoma?
Well, there have been previously limited treatment options for patients with advanced BCC following either intolerance or progression to an hedgehog inhibitor therapy. So with the FDA approval of cemiplimab, these patients now have a new option of immunotherapy for the treatment of advanced BCC post-hedgehog inhibition therapy. And it's very encouraging that the trial actually showed meaningful clinical responses and also durable responses to cemiplimab.
Could you elaborate on the data that we saw from that phase 2 study?
The trial is the EMPOWER-BCC1. trial, which was an open label, multi-center, non-randomized phase 2 trial. And it included patients with unresectable, locally advanced basal cell carcinoma, as well as patients with metastatic basal cell carcinoma, either with nodal metastasis or distant metastatic disease. These patients were previously treated with a hedgehog inhibitor therapy. So this study was the largest prospective clinical trial among this patient population, included 112 patients in the efficacy analysis, with 84 patients with locally advanced BCC and 28 patients with metastatic BCC.
And in terms of the efficacy and safety data, what did we see?
Well, in advanced BCC tumors, we're shown to be responsive to cemiplimab in both metastatic and locally advanced patients. The confirmed objective response rate was 21% in metastatic patients and 29% in the patients with locally advanced disease. The most common adverse reactions reported in the clinical trial in at least 15% of patients were fatigue in 49% of patients, musculoskeletal pain, diarrhea, rash, pruritus, and upper respiratory tract infections. So the usual safety issues we see with other anti-PD-1 therapies.
Now, in terms of the significance of the approval, it doesn't just offer another option to patients, but is it true that it's also the first immunotherapy option available to these patients?
Yes, it's true. This is the first immunotherapy treatment for patients with advanced BCC, and it's also the first treatment to show a clinical benefit in patients with advanced BCC, either locally advanced or metastatic disease, following a hedgehog inhibitor therapy in a pivotal trial. Cemiplimab, just to give a little bit of the context, is a fully human monoclonal antibody. It targets the immune checkpoint receptor PD-1, which is located on T cells. And like other anti-PD-1 therapies, cemiplimab binds to PD-1 and has been shown to block cancer cell suppressing T cell activation.
So based on the data we've seen so far in pretreated patients, is there rationale to suggest that it could potentially move into the frontline setting at some point, whether alone or in combination with another agent?
Well, the data has been certainly very encouraging in the second line setting. And I think that the option of using this immunotherapy in this first line setting is also quite interesting. I think this is something that we certainly need to consider either as a monotherapy or, as you suggested, in combination with other therapies.
Is there any other element of the approval or the data we've seen, potentially even ongoing or planned research with cemiplimab, that you wanted to call attention to?
Yes, certainly there is. Well, the FDA granted an accelerated approval for the metastatic BCC indication for cemiplimab. So in that perspective, cemiplimab is continuing to be investigated in this patient group as part of the ongoing phase two Empower BCC1 study. There's also a focus on research in terms of biomarkers as predictors of response to immunotherapy in this particular patient setting.
We'll let you have the last note here if there's anything else that you wanted to discuss.
Well, I think it's really very significant news for patients with advanced BCC, and it does expand the scope of immunotherapy in this patient setting. So we're very very much encouraged by the fact that there is now treatment showing a clinical benefit in patients with advanced BCC following hedgehog inhibitor therapy.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.